Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the classes, just everything, every aspect about this conference already. We just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your body, shedding that precious blood on that cross. We pray if there's anyone in this room who don't know you as Savior, that they would know you tonight. We just thank you and just pray that the word would clearly go out, Lord. In thy holy and precious name. Amen. Well, welcome everyone. Tonight we're just going to touch a little bit about relationships. Relationships, pretty much a key aspect to daily life almost. Think of the relationships that we have on a daily basis. Co-workers, friends, family. Just think of you as kids. You know, what, I say kids, I use that word a little, just anybody younger than me is a kid, so. What helps us keep those relationships good? Think of love, we just sang of that. Gentleness. Honesty. Showing mercy, in a sense, along with grace. Brad definitely touched on some key points of that last night. Being impartial, sincere, humble. What strains those relationships? What puts those relationships in a bind, if you will? Selfishness, definitely. I've talked about selfishness quite a bit in the last 2 days, probably more than my whole life. Just in the classes. Jealousy, bitterness, pride. Pride and selfishness pretty much go hand in hand, it seems like. Coveting. Just ordinary fighting. Worldliness. Speaking evil of someone. That is just a very, very short list of many things that could strain a relationship. But think of your relationship. What, you know, your relationships you work pretty hard on, it seems like. It's probably you work on your relationships harder with your parents, or do you work on them harder with your friends? Think about that as we go forward here. We're going to look at a few verses that speak of a strained, how relationships can get strained. We're going to flip to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not on his own interests, but also the interest of others. It's quite a bit in those two verses. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. How often do we do that? How often do we put somebody else's interests first above ours? How often do I do that? That's a huge barometer for me. Some days I could say not very often. Probably most days. I got my own agenda, got my own things I need to do. Everybody else can do their own thing. But here it's saying we should be counting on others more significant than yourselves. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we have a little bit of that same wording. It says, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to his own measure of faith that God has assigned. But I'm just focusing on that part of where it says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We really think we're really good some days, don't we? We're playing a game, we're the best. I'm way better than my buddy. Kind of say that often, don't we? I'm really good. James chapter 3. Verse 14 and 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and self-ambition in your hearts, do not boast to be false to the truth. Verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and tells us not to boast. Where they exist, disorder and every vile practice. So think about that. Bitter jealousy, think about that. That's a heart issue. Selfish ambition, it's all about me. Another heart issue. But if we look at chapter 4, starting at verse 1, what causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire to have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Just think of that last part. Friendship with the world. What does that mean, friendship with the world? That's a relationship. That could mean something different for each and every one of us, being friends with the world. Is really, in a sense, taking in what the world has to offer quite a bit. Just really embracing what they have. But what does it say? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So, how's your relationship with God then, when you look at these verses? What's keeping you from God? If you're in this room and don't know Jesus as Savior, you are separated from God. There is no way you can come to God without Christ. The most important relationship that you will ever have will be with Christ, will be with God. Over your future husband or wife, over your parents, your grandparents, your best buddy, best friend, your BFF, whatever you want to call it. That is the most important relationship you're ever going to have. So why don't we put so much effort into that relationship as we do a normal relationship of somebody we see each and every day? Think about that as we move forward. Why are we not putting the effort into the relationship with Christ then? What's keeping us from Him? I can tell you right now, it's not Him. You know, Brad pointed that out last night. He is in pursuit of us. Isaiah 59. We're just going to look at a few verses of why we are separated from Christ. What's keeping us from Him? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." So what did we just say? It is your sins, my sins. If you don't know Christ as Savior, it is your sins that are separating you right now. Has made a separation between you and your God. That's what's separating us. Maybe you're here thinking, "I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong." I know this has been mentioned a few times already. Romans 3:23. These are very... I'm having us turn to these verses because these verses really help me. When I didn't know the Lord, convicted me. Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Each and every one of us are sinners. "For all have sinned." Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death." Brad had this last night before us also. The cost of sinning, the price of sinning, is death. We deserve eternity in hell. Period. That's what we deserve. But in that second part of 23, it says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's a free gift. It's here. It's waiting. God sent His Son as that free gift for eternal life. Turn back to Romans 5. We're just going to look at a few verses of what Christ has done for us as sinners before we believe. Just keep thinking about this relationship. Romans 5, starting at verse 6. "For while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." He died for the ungodly. He died when you were enemies of God. He died before we even thought of having a relationship with Him. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't that amazing, you guys? Sitting here taking in what Christ has done for us. Before some of you would even know Him as Savior. If you're still in your sins right now, if you do not know Christ as Savior, you are separated. Jesus is the only one who could bridge that gap between you and God. And we read in here, it's justified by His blood. Brad talked about blood last night. It was that blood, that precious blood, that was shed on that cross, that washed away those sins. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to go back to that. Starting at verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But just think about this. Our Lord Jesus, before he came to this earth, was in heaven, was with God. He had the highest place. What does he do? Comes to this earth for us. Came to do the will of God. Came to save people. People who need saving. The ungodly, the sinners. He came and he humbled himself to the point of dying on that cross. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, and someone laid down his life for his friends. He called you a friend. Think of that relationship. He called you friend, even when you didn't see him as a friend. He called you friend when you don't even see him as Savior. Before you're saved, you think, you know, we're all... think we're invincible. We all think that we're going to live forever. I remember being at this age, going 90 or nothing in life, not a care in the world. But someday you're going to have to answer to God. Is that blood going to be there on you, as it were? Wash your sins away? You're going to be ushered into heaven? Or are you going to have no blood on you? You're going to have those sins that were never washed away. And you're going to enter into eternity, into the lake of fire forever. Eternity is a long time. We know people who live to 101, 102, 120, whatever it is. But eternity is forever. That's a long time. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse 12. Remember that you were at a time separated from Christ. So what separated us again? It was our sins. Are ungodly, being ungodly, our sins. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Him as Savior, it's very simple. Believe. That's it. I know, sitting there years ago, thinking to myself, believe? That I got to do something. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. I think Brad alluded to that last night. There's nothing you can do. You cannot buy your salvation. Can't throw it on a credit card. Can't take a loan out for it. Christ paid that debt already. And all you have to do is believe. We saw it. It's a free gift. Romans 6:23. It's a free gift. John 19:30. This is Christ. He's on that cross. He went through so much for us. We'll start at verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. It is finished. He finished that work. This was done some 2,000 years ago. I think it's pretty humbling that He did everything already for us. And now all we have to do is just look to Him and believe. Believe that you are a sinner. Believe that He died on the cross for you. You don't have to turn to it, but Acts 16:31. This is a Philippian jailer wondering how he could be saved. We'll start at 30. He said, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Maybe you're asking yourself that same question. What must I do to be saved? Again. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." It's that simple. There's no hoops to jump through. There's no place to sign. Isn't it amazing? Think about that relationship you could have with Christ for all eternity by believing. What's the other option? Think about that option again for all eternity, being in the lake of fire, which is hell. Christ or the lake of fire? All you have to do is believe. That relationship, He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be saved. He did the work. He did the work. Let's sing 355. Why not tonight? Do not wait. Verse 2 says, "Tomorrow's sun may never rise." We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. We don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. Think about that. If you think you're going to live forever on this earth, think again. He loves you. Jesus came to this earth, gave everything He had for you. When He already had everything, He gave it to you. It's the most unselfish friend you'll ever have. All you have to do is just believe. Tonight's the night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this night again. Just pray if there's anyone here with questions about Your love, about Your salvation, pray that they would be answered. Pray that they would know You before it's forever too late. Lord Jesus, again, thank You for that love, for dying for us, dying for sinners. We know we're wretched at best. We just thank You for that mercy and grace and that love shown on that cross. That blood that was spilled to wash those sins away. We just thank You, precious Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.